card. And there we go, folks. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you enjoy this message tonight because, as I just said a while ago, I've been, digging deeper in my relationship with the Lord. And I had to take a few steps back to kind of examine myself. So I'm kind of was like looking in the mirror. But you know what? I'm kind of looking at life in a different way now. Because as I told the men's group Wednesday night, in light of the sickness that I have dealt with, it sure made me think a lot different. It sure gave me a lot of thought. And it sure made me look at God in a much more different way. And I found there was some room for improvements within my life. And this is what we're going to work on. Me and my wife decided we're going to allow the Lord to change some things around. And we're just going to start doing whatever we're doing. And we're serving this new church. And things are starting to take off there. So, you know, everything is kind of, you know, coming into play. But we're just going to be humble servants and serve God. So I got a question for y'all tonight. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us can relate to this. I know I do. And I'm sure you will too once I ask you this question. How many of you here tonight like to wait? How many of you do here tonight like to wait? You can raise your hand up or you can answer however you want. But see, if you're like me, not many of us do. Well, some people do like to wait, but not many of us do. A lot of us don't like to wait. But don't you find that we're doing an awful lot of it? Think about that. Do you find that you're doing an awful lot of waiting? I know I have as of late. I never thought about that. But, you know, when I started thinking about this message, you know what? I am sure doing an awful lot of waiting. I never thought about that before. And like all of us, we're waiting on something, although through the day and countless times through the week, we still find ourselves waiting. Now, like me, I start thinking about, well, what are we waiting on? You know, a lot of us, you know, hey, we're waiting for the traffic lights to turn green. We wait for the trains to pass by. We wait for the bank lines and the grocery lines to move. And if you go to Walmart, I think you know what I'm talking about, because if you're going in those lines, guess what? You got a lot of waiting to do. We wait for the toast to pop up, the water to boil. We wait for a movie or a ball game to get started. We wait for phone calls. We wait for people to show up. We wait for planes to land and traffic to move. We wait for our turn to see the doctor or the dentist or the barber or, for you ladies, the beauticians. We wait for the weekend. Hey, the weekend's coming up. We wait for vacation or a day off. We wait on our spouses to fix our hair or to put on makeup or to fix something that has been broken for quite a while. And my wife, she's not here yet, but she will be. She will tell you, yeah, I agree with that, because a lot of times he's supposed to be fixing something and I'm waiting on him to do it. See, folks, we spend a lot of our time waiting, and we really don't like waiting for things, do we? You see that? We spend a lot of time waiting, but we really don't like to wait for things. And that's because, my friends, we live in a society that has become accustomed to what I call instant gratification. Or in other words, I call it that we are living in a generation, what I call is a microwave society. Few seconds, ding, and they want it. Folks want it right then and now. But when you got to tell them to wait, oh no, I don't want none of that. They don't like to wait. And sometimes we don't. And if you're honest like me, you know, and I am honest, there are times sometimes I really do not like to wait. Especially when I was dealing with the sickness and going through the massive pain and hurting and crying and pleading to God. I'm telling you what, that was the first time I ever hurt that hard. And longest that I can ever remember, and I kept praying and praying, and yet the pain would not go away, so I had to wait and endure, but eventually it went away, but I didn't like that process. You see, again, we are living in a society of instant gratification. See, again, we want everything, and we want it now. So, those of you who have your Bibles, normally I have my Bible posted here, Coram, but he's not here tonight. But again, if you got your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 15 through 21. John chapter 6, verse 15 through 21, starting with verse 15. And it says, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. The sea arose because of a great wind blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather here tonight. And Father, I ask of you again every Friday night, please bless these folks that are here tonight. They could have been doing something else. They could have went elsewhere. They could have went done their own thing. But they decided to come here tonight. And it's all about the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask of you right now to anoint them. Hear their prayers. Touch them. Put a protective hedge around them. Let them know that you are there and you love them. And let them know that you are taking care of them. And sometimes, you know, when we have to wait to see what's going to happen, we don't like it. But you're there. You never forsake us. You never leave us. And sometimes, you know, we get a little impatient on waiting. But you know what? You are so gracious and kind to us. Because of your mercy and your love, we have what we have. Your Son, Jesus Christ. So again, love them. Take care of them. Watch over them. Father, I ask of you, if this message being presented tonight, anoint it. What is for me or what is for anyone here, I don't know. But you allowed me to be led to this direction. This is the direction we're going to go. And I thank you for giving me these words to speak to these kind folks tonight. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now, in case some of you don't know the title, because, you know, again, we don't have... I'm having a little issues with the website front page, but, you know, it's just I've been busy with the church. But, you know, that robot thing in the chat room does flash the message whenever I can update. But the message for tonight is, I think we can relate to this again, getting nowhere fast. Now, in John chapter 6, 15 through 21, that we find Jesus' disciples. And if you really back up and look at it, we find his disciples not willing to wait on him. So they take off on their own and enter the small ship planning to cross over the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. Now, for those of you, if you don't know the history of the Sea of Galilee, Galilee is basically a large lake. It's said to be about 150 feet deep, surrounded by hills. And it was said it only takes minutes for the wind to pick up just like that and make the lake extremely dangerous for crossing. Now, although that didn't stop these fishermen, because if you really look at the history and study the apostles, many of them were fishermen. So even though because of all these conditions, it didn't stop the fishermen, who were very experienced seamen, who knew and understood about seamanship. Well, the Bible says it was dark, and by now a great wind began to blow, making it very difficult for the disciples. In fact, if you really look at it, it was blowing against them to where they were not making no headway, none whatsoever. You see, They were basically about 3 to 4 miles out, exhausted, because again, they're roaring and roaring and roaring and roaring and roaring, and they're not moving because it's just them winds. It's just stopping them in place. But see, again, they were exhausted and afraid because the waves began to pound against them and against that boat, and they started taking on water. So again, they started really getting nervous. They started getting afraid. But lo and behold, when Jesus came on the scene, things changed for the good. Didn't they? And the Bible says, when they willingly received Jesus into the boat, immediately the boat was on land and they were gone. Immediately, basically, the boat was on land to where they were going. Like, wow, that just like that. See, folks, they were getting nowhere fast. Were they? Doesn't sound like us so often, does it? We're not willing to wait on God, so look, we venture off on our own only to make matters worse. Instead of waiting and trusting in God, sometimes we like, you know what, I'm not going to wait no more, Lord. I'm going to take care of this thing and I'm going to do it my way. And sometimes that ends up making matters worse. Basically, we have a nature that tells us that we have to do something now. A lot of times, it's just that nature in me comes out. Nope, I can't wait. I got to do something about this now. Instead of listening to the Lord, and as a lot of scripture says, wait on the Lord. Nope, I got to do it now. You see, folks, there's a saying around here, and you may have heard this, that goes like this. Don't just stand there, do something, even if it is wrong. I used to hear that a lot from my co-workers at the plant. Don't stand there, do something, even if it's wrong. The more I think about that, I'm like, really? Now, folks, basically, that isn't wise at all, is it? In fact, it's foolish. It's very foolish if we have that mindset, if we take that mentality. See, we live in a hurry-up world. Hurry up! And again, I'm not trying to rat my wife out, but a lot of times I'm ending up telling, hurry up, baby! Hurry up! Come on, we gotta go! I ain't got time to wait no more! I told you an hour ago we was going to be leaving. But see, we live in a hurry-up world, and waiting for anything can cause us, to lose our temper. I ain't never did that, did I? Yep. Waiting sometimes can cause us our good sense. Oh, no, I ain't done that. Yeah, not me. No. Well, yeah, I did too. Okay. Waiting. Here's a good one. Even caused us to lose our tongues. Oh, I ain't never did that. Jimbo's too good at that, man. He's a good old boy. He ain't never lost his tongue while waiting. The good Jimbo looks at the bad Jimbo and says, like, say what? Dude, you better tell these folks the truth. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, folks. Yeah, I kind of lost my tongue a few times while waiting. Hadn't we all? See, we don't like to wait. We want things to happen and happen now. We want to be content and happy in life now. But it's interesting that the Word of God insists that we learn some of life's greatest lessons while we wait. You know, waiting rooms can be hard classrooms. Again, waiting rooms can be hard classrooms. But God promise rewards to those who wait on him. This is not me saying this, folks. This is the word of God saying that he will reward those who wait on him. I believe God's plans to use the waiting zone in our lives for our blessings. That is, if we can wait on him. Do you get that, my friends? I believe that God uses that waiting zone in our lives for our blessings, provided if we wait on him. How do I know this? The Bible has much to say about waiting on the Lord. And let me give you a few passages to show you, to illustrate this. Psalms chapter 5, verse 3 says, "In the morning I will direct my prayer unto you and will look up." Psalms chapter 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalms chapter 37, verse 34 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." But the one I would really like for us to look at is in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. And it says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him." And I don't think we can begin to imagine how God will move on our behalf. The Bible says he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Listen, we as God's people can with confidence expect that he will act when we wait for him in faith. Let me repeat that. We as God's people can with confidence expect that he will act when we wait for him in faith. Now, as I was trying to get us to think at the start of this, folks, and this is what I'm trying to lead us to right now, have you ever wondered, and I thought about this while writing this, and I started thinking about this a lot since then, have you ever wondered why God so often asks us to wait? Any of you here tonight, have you ever wondered why God so often asks us to wait? I thought about that a lot, and I said, you know what? I wonder why, God. Why do we have to wait so much? Well, I got several reasons why I think God often asks us to wait. The first reason is because we discover God's will and purpose in our lives. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 says this, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." God does not string us along, folks, for the sake of just doing it. He does not dangle carrots in front of our noses to lead us along. He does not say, like so often we parents do, "We'll see." I have heard that a lot growing up from my parents. "We'll see. We'll see." God does not do that to us, folks. He don't say, "We'll see." The Bible says, even right now, as you and I are waiting, he is working all things together for the good and His glory. Although we may not understand it, we can certainly believe it by faith. Waiting on God, my friends, takes faith. Doesn't it, folks? Waiting on God takes faith. And so often, we want to take things into our own hands and fix things only to make matters worse. And while waiting on God, and that's why I told y'all earlier when I was sick and praying and pleading and begging and reading and meditating and begging and pleading and reading and begging, folks, during that waiting process, what it does, it causes us to examine our hearts, our motives, our relationship with Him, and our walk with Him. In case if you never thought about this, my friends, please, if you're ever going through a waiting process or something you're dealing with, step back and think about it. Examine your hearts, examine the motives, examine your relationship, examine your walk with Him, because that's what God might be allowing us to do in that process. Like me, a few times and a lot of times, I kind of strayed away from some of these things. I kind of got used to kind of like, you know, having a big boy, I'm going to take care of some things on my own. But you know what? As I said earlier, there's some things that's going to change between me and the Lord. It's now me more submitting to Him and waiting on Him and being patient in the process and learning these life lessons. And by doing so, my friends, if we do this, we are able to make those necessary changes and adjustments in our lives. Every so often, I think we got to go through this waiting room process to re-examine ourselves, to re-examine our relationship with God, to see if things are hunky-dory and have these things checked out. And if you're willing to do that, I think God will allow you to see what needs to be done. Because it allows us to see His will and purpose in our lives as well. And let me tell you something. There's no better place to be than in the will of God, living out His purpose for our lives. And let me say that. It's not a waste of time waiting on God. It's not. Second reason I came to conclusion of this waiting and something to learn is that while waiting on God, we, you and I, receive supernatural physical energy and strength. That's right, folks. I'm starting to preach a little bit now because when we are going through this waiting process, when we are subjugating ourselves over to God, when we allow Him to do what He does back, folks, I guarantee supernatural physical energy and strength starts to unfold. Listen to what God said, and we can claim Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29-31. Let me grab me a real sip of water real quick. Like I said, we can claim Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29-31. And this kind of opened my eyes when I came across this passage. And starting with verse 29, it says, He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. And I like this. But those who wait on the Lord. And y'all know this is the song. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That was a good reminder to me, folks. And what God is saying, His promise that as we wait on Him, He will supply us with supernatural physical energy for our journey in life or whatever He has called us to accomplish. Now make a note of this, because this is going to backfire, because it's done so to me quite a few times. But if we are impatient, we, my friends, will become weary and worn down and discouraged. Again, if we are impatient and waiting on God and decide to take the other route, we will become weary. We will wear down. We will get discouraged. Been there and done that. Folks, waiting actively on God energizes us. And we're kind of like the Energizer Bunny. Those batteries will wear down. But a lot of times as we wait on Him to recharge us, it'll happen. You know, I heard 5 or 10 minutes of waiting on God, basically to me, can be like a 2-hour power nap. That's right. 5 or 10 minutes of us just patiently waiting on God can be like a big 2-hour power nap. Look, I'm up in age. I take 15, 20-minute power naps. And y'all, whether you want to admit it or not, but when we take those power naps, we wake up. Guess what? How do you feel? Somebody answer me. How do you feel after you take a good, hard power nap? Better. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Boy, I wake up, oh man, I feel like $1 million. Can you imagine how you would feel if you wait on God in the process that you're dealing with and let Him do it? Give it a try. See what happens. See, again, folks, I believe waiting on God is never a waste of time. It never is. Sometimes we put into our minds, hey, it's just a waste of time. I'm not going to wait. Yeah, I learned some lessons, huh? I hope that you're enjoying this, because I hope maybe it may help you in what you're dealing with. The third thing that happens to us while we are waiting on God in that waiting room, y'all going to love this one. You ready for it? You ready for this one? We win battles. Woohoo! Do you get it? When you are sitting in that waiting room waiting on God, guess what? We win battles. I like that one. You see, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 says, again, wait on the Lord and He shall save you. Now let's think about this. How wonderful to see God rescue us and bless us with His favor. Just recently in this battle that I had to deal with, I've seen this in my own life. Folks, trust me. Accept this by faith. God will do what He says. This is what faith is all about. Throw out everything else that you may know about faith. But faith, my friends, like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And folks, our faith is that we are going to believe God is going to do what He says He's going to do according to His holy words. End of story. But I also found out when I do things my way, in my own hurried time, guess what? Are you ready for this one? When I do things my way, in my own hurried time, oh man, I end up defeated. That's right. I end up defeated. And I learned the lesson, you know what? Okay, God, I should have waited on you. And I get it. But waiting on God, folks, ensures us our victory and keeps us from foolish, unwise, and even sometimes hurtful decisions. Again, waiting on God ensures our victory, and it keeps us from foolish, unwise, and even sometimes hurtful decisions. Are you getting this? Are you getting this, what I'm saying tonight? Are you understanding this? I know I am. The fourth thing that happens while we are in that waiting room, waiting on God. You ready for this? Are you ready? Somebody say, "Hey, I'm ready. Come on, let's see it." We see God working on our behalf. Woo! I like that. We see God working on our behalf. Folks, Isaiah spoke of a God who acts for the one who waits on him. That's God's words are saying that. That's not me. That's his words, his holy words, his living words saying that who acts on the one who waits for him. Isn't that an encouraging promise from God, folks? Isn't it? While we are actively waiting on God, that is to say, doing what we know to do. God actively works. I just recently learned this while preparing this. Wait on God. Doing what we know to do. Wait on God and put self aside. And the Bible tells us that we have the greatest mediator working on our behalf, friends. Do you love this? We got the greatest mediator working on our behalf, mine, yours, and everybody in here tonight. So when things go wrong or when they go right, whatever the case may be, he is there mediating on our behalf. But as I said earlier, listen to this, please. It's not a waste of time waiting on God, although waiting can be one of the hardest lessons in our Christian life. It can be. Some of you here tonight, you can testify to this, of which you've been dealing with for a good part of your lives, or many battles you're fighting, or many issues, or many trials, or many temptations, or whatever it may be. I have talked to many of you, and we're all dealing with it, and a lot of times while we are waiting for something to happen to come through, it is a hard lesson for us to learn. It is. Trust me, it's not easy. But I do believe God uses those times to work in us. I do believe that. And again, it may be to swift our motives, to strengthen our faith, to keep us in step with Him. Whatever the case may be, when we choose to wait on God, He rewards us with blessings beyond what we ask or think. That's right. I'm not trying to stand here and preach prosperity to you, but I'm all in telling you what the Word of God says. If we decide to choose to wait on God and do things in accordance to His will, He does provide blessings beyond what we can think or even imagine. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. And I had to think, how do I wrap this up? Well, I read an article that it went like this. While waiting on God is like planting a garden. Now, I used to do gardens and stuff, you know, back then. I've been thinking about if I had my own piece of land, I would do it again. But some of you, I don't know if you have or not, but I'm sure maybe you might have made a little mini garden or something like this. But see, waiting on God, my friends, is like planting a garden. You put a seed under the soil and water it. And guess what happens afterwards? Then you wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. Then after some sun and watering, the seeds begin to grow. And one day, finally, you begin to see the evidence of what you planted. Now suppose you did this, like I said earlier. You know, I ain't going to wait. Not me, boy. I ain't waiting. I'm going to go ahead and take matters in my own hands. Now suppose that you have grown impatient and dug up your seeds because nothing seemed to be happening. The end results could be you can end up with a ruined garden. Think about that one. So let's remember tonight some fruit takes a long time to mature. And the one who wants to bring it forth in our lives knows exactly how long we need to wait. Or in other words, let's remember, my friends, God knows how long we need to wait. And the Bible says, waiting on God makes the best fruit. And how do I know this? In this research, some of the greatest figures in the Bible had to wait also. Folks like Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, and many others. They had to wait for many years for God's promise. Everything that happened in the meantime, my friends, was used to prepare them inwardly as well as outwardly. Then, when they had reached their promise, they were blessed beyond measure. And God invites us to trust in His goodness today and His faithfulness tomorrow. Relinquishing control to Him is the main route to experience His love and peace. Do you get that? By you relinquishing control to Him is the main route for us to experience His love and peace. And what it does, it unites our hearts with His. It creates a level of maturity and character that we will take with us into the future. And it enables us to enjoy His future blessings and all the more. And last but not least, folks, we wait on the Lord because we have the ultimate trust in His plan for our lives. And as I said, it can be tough to wait on His timing. It can. Well, think about this and put that into your mind. It's always worth it in the end. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you again for allowing us to be here tonight, Father. Again, thank you for reminding me of many things in this message because it spoke to my heart. I know it was for me, you know, because again, you know, I kind of didn't like that waiting game, but I did things that I should have not done, and I should have just been patient and waited on you. I know I've been dealing with a lot of other issues, but you know what? You know, we can't be living like this. We can't be living in such hardships and just really causing problems in our minds and just allowing these things just to interfere with our relationship with you. I know it's a hard thing for us to wait. I know it's a trust thing too, and it's faith, but I'm not going to allow myself to be in that position anymore. I'm just going to have to wait. I'm just going to have to trust you and allow you to do what you do best, because again, you reminded me of the blessings that will happen. So God, I lay this petition down at your feet for the fine folks here tonight. I know many of them may be dealing with things, and some things may be happening. And I know it's a hard process because they got to wait too. But let them let this message sink into their hearts tonight and let them know, hey, waiting is okay. It's about your timing and not ours. So I'm just going to do what I've been doing lately for the last several weeks. I'm not going to worry about these things anymore. I'm just going to wait and let you do whatever you do best. And whatever the outcome may be, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. I just want to live and keep focused on Christ. Thank you again for allowing us to gather together. Thank you for allowing us to be with each other here tonight. Father, I love you. I love you with all my heart and these kind folks here tonight. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.